Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The text for the first Sunday after Christmas comes from our Gospel reading of Luke. When the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice, according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
It had been a little over a month since anything miraculous had happened to this young family. By now, they were probably used to extraordinary things taking place. Both of them had been visited by an angel, one receiving the incarnation of God in her womb, the other being told that this miracle in the belly of his betrothed was nothing to be afraid of, but instead was the beginning of the salvation of all people. Mary, she had also been comforted by the prophetic words of Elizabeth, as the baby in her womb joyfully leapt as the word became flesh, came into their presence. And then both of them had been visited by a group of strange shepherds who fell on their faces before this little Christ child that was wrapped up in swaddling cloths and laying in a manger. But since that miraculous day of Christ's birth, everything had seemingly settled down a little bit and become somewhat normal, if you can consider the first month of being a new parent normal. As any good Jewish parent would, though, of course, Mary and Joseph had their child, their son Jesus, circumcised on the eighth day after his birth. This was the beginning of Christ's fulfillment of the law. Right there, right on the eighth day, we had Jesus as an infant beginning his work, even shedding his blood in order to do it. It's an amazing thing that transpires if you just take a moment and stop and think about it. Mankind had been under the law ever since we took a bite of that cursed fruit and dove ourselves into the midst of sin and death and destruction. To be under the law means to be subject to it, to be required to fulfill it, and to reap the consequences of our failings in regard to it. The law makes its demands and it promises its punishments. Those punishments are great, greater and heavier than we could ever imagine. But such is the lot of the fallen. We are subject to the law's requirements. We are subject to its punishments. And so, when the fullness of time had come, this, according to St. Paul in the fourth chapter of Galatians, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Jesus placed himself under the law, even though as God he stood above the law, since the law is his and came from him. But now he places himself under it, nonetheless, as a servant, to fulfill what was required of it. This begins at his conception. It's pronounced by angels at his birth. It's first tackled tangibly at his circumcision, and now in our gospel reading for today is made public for all the world to see at the temple. Like I said earlier, a month or so had passed, 40 days to be exact, and Mary and Joseph brought this little law fulfiller into the temple to perform everything according to the law of the Lord. A sacrifice has to be made for purification. That's what Leviticus says. For sin is so pervasive. It's touched everything and corrupted everything in creation to such an extent that even this act of giving birth must be redeemed by the blood of sacrifice. And I know that kind of sounds a little bit strange. How is it that the gift of life must be redeemed and sanctified? For the things of life are from God, and therefore they are good. And I don't claim to understand all of it, or even to be able to, not the fullness of it. But that right there might actually show us the severity of our fallen and messed up situation. So far are we gone. So much are we corrupted by sin and death that we can't even see how deep the darkness actually is while we're in it. And just look at your own life and all the many times in which you need to have your sin actually point it out to you before you can see it and recognize it. A pig doesn't realize that he's filthy while he's living in his pigsty. The slop just becomes the norm, so much so that he can't even see it anymore. And so even the act of giving birth and bringing forth life must be redeemed. And so this little infant Jesus is brought into the temple to do so. Leviticus 12, that lays out the minutiae of this sacrificial cleansing, if you want to go home and read it for yourself. But the interesting thing that we should not miss here is that Luke doesn't mention the main type of sacrifice that must be brought. Instead, he just says that Mary and Joseph bring with them the alternative sacrifice, the one that can be substituted if the family's too poor for the main one. And so they bring with them two pigeons. And birds are fine, but they're no lamb. A lamb is what Leviticus first says must be brought, but Mary and Joseph don't bring a lamb. Or maybe they do. Simeon, he's sitting in the temple that fateful day. He's a devout man who's been waiting for the consolation of Israel. And that might be some confusing language, but perhaps it's not as confusing as it first might appear. But we should probably find out what exactly is meant by the consolation of Israel. Simeon is waiting for Israel, for God's people to receive their consolation, to receive their comfort. And this comfort isn't going to be found in cushy pillows and nice things. It's not going to be found in temporal peace and an earthly king sitting on David's throne. This consolation, this comfort is to be found, is to be accomplished once peace between God and man has been established. A peace which has been long waited for ever since sin has made us enemies with God, ever since mankind was placed under the law. That's what the angels sang about the night of Jesus' birth. We did too in the Gloria in Excelsis at the beginning of the service. We get to echo those angelic voices of the first Christmas day. Simeon, he's waiting for peace on earth. And peace on earth can only come when heaven comes to earth in the form of this little baby. Peace and consolation and comfort can only come when the things that have placed us under the law, namely our sin, is taken care of, is atoned for, is redeemed, is sanctified, is forgiven. This is what Simeon is devoutly waiting for. And he's told, too, by the Holy Spirit that he will not see death before he's seen the Lord's Christ. For it's the Lord's Christ that will bring about this consolation and this peace and redemption and forgiveness. And he's told to go to the temple that wondrous day because the Lord's Christ is going to be revealed there. The Lord's Christ is going to come to his earthly home. But this time he isn't going to be hidden behind a curtain and wrapped up in a cloud of smoke. But instead, he's going to be right there in the midst of all the people for everyone to see. And he's going to be wrapped up in the clothes of a baby. Do you remember earlier when I mentioned Mary and Joseph had been living a normal life, at least for the last 40 days? Well, that's about to change. Because as they enter the temple to do everything according to the law, because the Lord's Christ has placed himself under the law, along with all the rest of us sinners, in order to accomplish the requirements of the law too perfect for us fallen to ever accomplish, Simeon, filled with the Holy Spirit, rushes up to the three of them and astounds them. He takes up this little Christ child in his arm and he sings a song that would be echoed throughout all the rest of time. It would be sung at divine services and it would be sung at funerals. It will be echoed by other poor, miserable sinners who, just like him, are waiting for the consolation, the comfort, the peace, the redemption, the forgiveness of Israel. And so Simeon takes up this little baby and proclaims that his salvation, that the salvation of all of mankind, is lying there, right in his arms. And this little baby, born under the law to save those under the law, is for all people. Just like the angels declared to the shepherds 40 days earlier. He's a light to the Gentiles, He's the glory of Israel. He's the consolation, the redemption, the salvation of the fallen sinner. Simeon, he holds this little baby, and he gives thanks to God for the salvation that comes through him. Which then, of course, answers that question as to why Mary and Joseph only brought two pigeons with them that day to sacrifice. Because they already had the much better lamb in the person of Jesus, the one who would save his people from their sins. The only thing was that it wasn't yet time for that lamb to be sacrificed. He had a lot of work to do, being under the law as he was, in order to fulfill that law, so that his sacrifice would be full and complete and bring about the true consolation of Israel. But that day, it would surely come. It must. That's why God took on our flesh, after all, in order to fulfill and redeem, in order to take on our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, in order to make us holy through his bloody cross and free us from death by his open grave. And so the sacrifice would have to wait, but that consolation of Israel was already complete in that baby that Simeon held in his arms. And at that, we could be done. We could be done with the whole story. I mean, wouldn't that be enough? The consolation of Israel has come in the person of Jesus. He has made peace between God and man because he saved his people from their sins. Comfort had been made known to the nations, to the Gentiles. You have heard this comfort. You believe. The one born under the law has fulfilled the law. Right there in our text, he goes about it, and he doesn't stop until every single facet of the law is complete. And then that little 40-day-old lamb leaves the temple and he leaves Jerusalem, only to find himself hanging on a cross decades later as the slain lamb that he was always meant to be. Prophetic words are satisfied in him. Angelic promises find themselves complete in him. The law in which he placed himself under for our sake is fulfilled in him. Sins are forgiven and death is killed in him. All of that's enough. And yet God goes one step further. And it's not just one step, it's a million steps further, because he brings that salvation, that assurance of the consolation, the hope, the comfort, the promise of Israel to you. Because you too are Israel. You too are God's chosen people. We get to sing these very words of Simeon in our divine service, in the Nunc Dimittis. Right after we receive the Lord's Supper. And what better time to sing them? These words of Simeon are ours because we too have now seen the salvation of the Lord come to us. God has come into his church, into our presence. And we've taken the Lord's Christ, the Lamb of God, up into our arms and received him in our mouths. This very Lamb of God who entered the temple in the arms of his mother and purified her from the stain of sin. This very Lamb who was lifted up by Simeon and declared to be a light and revelation for the glory of God's people. This very Lamb who had upon himself the sins of the world at a meek young age of 40 and 3 decades later found himself on a cross to pay the price for all of the sins and destroyed the grave and the power of Satan and death forever with his empty tomb. This very Lamb of God is given to you this very day. He is your salvation. He is your life. He's your purification. He's your consolation. That's why we sing the Song of Simeon. Never again must you worry or fear that the law, because you're under it, means your doom. For the Lamb of God gives himself to you, forgiving you your sin, purifying you through holy waters and through holy words and through a holy feast that will never end. Lord, and now you're letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel. In a few short minutes, let us sing that song of salvation like we've never sung it before. Because Christ has really and truly brought his salvation to you. In the name of Jesus.